Father, please be with us this morning as we have your word open before us. I pray also that our hearts and minds would be open to hear from you. Father, I pray that as we hear things this morning and maybe they're a little bit uncomfortable for us, I pray that you will help us to learn that sometimes the best or truest growth comes through working through a process of being uncomfortable. Help us to see your word as true. Help us to learn from your word. Help us to become more faithful in our following of you and in our serving of you. I pray that you will help us to become a stronger church that can rely on each other more and more because we're learning to rely more on you. Father, I'm thankful that you have left us in the Bible several books about Jesus himself, and I pray that we will, anytime that we wonder what we should do or how you call us to live, Father, I pray that you would encourage us to go back to the Gospels and simply spend a little bit of time reading about Jesus and learning from him the priorities that we are to have and the actions that we are to take in our lives. We thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, how many as a child ever had rules that you had to follow? Maybe I was the only one. Probably I was the only one that had rules that you had to follow. And there's a lot of kids here, and so some of these kids know what I'm talking about. You have rules to follow. Sometimes you become an adult and you still have rules to follow, which isn't as cool, but they're still there. But how many, when you had those rules to follow, and you don't have to raise your hand for this, but did you ever break the rules that you knew? Like, I'm talking about nothing that was unclear. I'm talking about rules that were crystal clear. And you knew them, and you understood them, and you broke them anyway. Now, I've heard from some of you about times when that's happened, so I know I'm not the only one that did this, but, you know, one time when we were camping as a family, we went camping on vacation a lot when I was growing up. I can't remember how old I was. I want to underestimate my age here because it's a little bit embarrassing, so I'm going to say I was 8. I was probably 12. I don't know, but we were camping, and we had a very clear rule when we had marshmallows in the fire, that if they caught on fire, we had to slowly remove them and blow them out. Now, I don't know about you guys, but my brother and I loved stuffing the marshmallows in, catching them on fire, seeing how long they could burn before Dad said, "Get it out!" And we had to pull it out. But this one time, I was trying to do a nice job with it. And the marshmallow caught on fire. And because I was trying to do a nice job, I pulled it out and I started whipping it back and forth like this to try to get it out. Suddenly, marshmallow goes flying off the end, lands on my dad's brand new sweater. This is the first time he'd ever worn this sweater. And it's this flaming marshmallow. And it's on his, so he's like, you know, trying to get it off of him as fast as he can. He's swatting it, and he finally gets it off, and it hits the ground. It's in the dirt, and then he's got this, I don't know what had happened, but the flame had fused the material together. It was scalded, and there was a hole, and there was like this tar-like substance on it. And needless to say, that was the end of the campfire for Jeremy for that night. And and then it became a joke. Every year going forward, he'd still wear it. But I think that it was a little bit dangerous. There's a reason that we have rules, aren't there? There's a reason for rules. And sometimes you create a rule, and then because you're trying to accomplish some good with it, and then someone comes along who breaks that rule. For example, of course, it's always an uncle or some other family member that should know better, but they're always breaking it right in front of your child that you're trying to teach something. You know, other times, over at my brother's house, he's trying to get his kids to do something. I don't know about it, so I walk into the room and do the exact opposite of what he's trying to get the kids to do. Has that ever happened to you? And then he's upset but doesn't want to say anything because he knows you didn't try to do anything wrong, but sometimes you try to set a rule, and then some well-meaning person undermines your rule. And so you're back to square one. You're not sure how to start. But, you know, that's why we have rules. Rules are generally intended to try to help someone. Rules are generally intended to lay down guidelines for behavior. Rules are generally intended to help guide a person into the path that you want them to go. Rules, however, can go too far. This is the problem when we look into Luke chapter 13 that we see with the synagogue ruler. First of all, in fact, he might be called a synagogue leader, but I'm just trying to confirm that because it's something just dawned on me here. But the synagogue leader, he's upset because when Jesus comes into the synagogue on this day, because his rules are not being observed. Now, his job as a synagogue leader was to officiate over the synagogue services. His job was to make sure that the appropriate texts were read. His job was to make sure that the scrolls were out for folks to access. His job was to make sure that those leading the songs and hymns knew which songs and hymns were appointed for the day. It was his job to make sure that when a particular festival or feast was happening, that everybody knew about it. It was his job to make sure folks were seated at the right time and in the right place. It's a stressful job to oversee all of this. And then someone comes in, he thinks things are going along well, and his job is to make sure that the rules are enforced and observed. Because in his view, God is honored when the rules he gave us are kept. For this man, very much a one-way path. His leadership in the synagogue was dependent upon making folks follow the one way that was spelled out for them. Here's a set of rules, and this is how things are going to go. Here's a set of parameters, and these are how we're going to operate things. You know, this is an attitude that sadly we see in our own heritage from time to time. And let me be clear, because by the time we've looked at the synagogue leader's response and his emphasis on rules, we see that he's already in conflict with Jesus. So I'm not going to try to paint things in a better light for the synagogue leader at this point. He's clearly on the wrong side of the story. There's no question that he's on the right side. So he's creating rules that are dividing people from the truth that they need to find in God. And his rules are more important than God himself. That's the problem that he's dealing with. This is the attitude that we sometimes see in our own heritage as well. For example, the way that we talk about people in other groups, denominations, is a disgusting bad habit that we encounter in our own existence from time to time. The rules that we create to say some are in and some are out lead us to then go too far with that. And the bashing of different people because of the place that has a name, a particular name that they go to, is wrong. Now, please hear me about what I'm actually saying. And what I'm actually saying is our behavior towards people. That's what I'm emphasizing. We have rules that we have put into place. And those who do not observe the rules that we want them to observe are out. And we make sure by our rules that they know that. And sometimes we make sure that they know that even way above and beyond our rules by the way that we talk about them. Even sometimes in our own group, we will make people feel uncomfortable for the way that they dress or the way that they do not dress. And we create rules and parameters for how people are accepted inside of a church building based on how they dress. And so their attempt to come and find God and hear the truth about God can be limited by our enforcement of our rules, either intentionally or unintentionally, and it can have a negative effect. Because here comes somebody doing whatever they can to try to come in a door one day, and for those of us who have not grown up going to church, and for those of us who have not made it a habit of attending church over many years, it takes effort to wake up on a Sunday morning and say, I am going to go and be among a group of people that I don't know. And I'm going to be there on time, and I'm going to go in and try to do my best and try to fit in. It's scary. And then for those folks who come in and feel automatically on the outside because of the way they are dressed or not dressed, means we have created a rule that is becoming a barrier for how people can access God. Another way that we do that is some people's attitude towards children in worship. So that some young mothers feel that whenever a child begins to make a little bit of noise, they have to automatically get up and leave. The worship service of the church. And I always tell those people, you know what, it doesn't bother me. And if it doesn't bother me, it shouldn't bother anybody else. And now you're saying, well, I can't concentrate. Well, you know what? I hear the same thing you hear. And in some cases, I see things you don't see. And yet I'm able to find a way to concentrate beyond that. I'm speaking. I've got some notes up here I'm trying to keep on track with. And it doesn't bother me. And I genuinely feel that it shouldn't bother others. And the bottom line is that when folks feel like they have to get up and leave with a young child making a little bit of noise, that perhaps our rules have created a barrier that prevents people from having access to God. The problem is that the rules work for those who are privileged insiders, leaving the outsiders to do the best that they can. Let's take a look at this crippled woman, for example, that pops up for the first time in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. She's been crippled for 18 years through no fault of her own. You see what Luke tells us in verse 11? And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. This is a demonic issue for this woman. This is not laziness. This is not could have had it taken care of, but just chose not to. This is a spiritual issue. She's crippled for 18 years, and yet here she is, week in and week out in the synagogue. She does everything she can to get herself together to come and be part of worship in the synagogue on Sabbath, but she can't be healed because she came on the wrong day. But for this woman, and so someone might say, well, what's the big deal? Come back on another day. Come back on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sabbath being Saturday. Don't come on Saturday. But this woman, it's all she can do to build up week after week after week to save her strength so that she can be with the worshiping community on the Sabbath day. And yet when she comes on the Sabbath day to observe God's law, she can't be healed because it's the wrong day. Synagogue leader makes clear, there's another day for that. And what a jerk this guy is. You know, I'm not in the habit of calling people in the Bible a jerk, but if you look at what this guy does, he doesn't even address Jesus. Who's his problem with? His problem's with Jesus. He's indignant. You see that in verse 14? He is indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Do you see that? That's his problem. Jesus healed a crippled woman of 18 years by a spirit. He heals her, but this guy is bent out of shape because Jesus had the nerve to heal her on a Sabbath. He broke the rule. So how does he respond? Does he call Jesus aside? I need to talk with you for a minute. No, he doesn't even address Jesus. Instead, he goes up to the people and says, there's a lot of other days other than the Sabbath. There's six other days, in fact. So you all should come and be healed on one of those days. So he uses the woman as an object lesson, and he blames the woman for the problems that he's encountering because he won't deal with Jesus. And isn't it like that a lot of times for people to get hung up about rules? You blame the person breaking the rule rather than looking at the legitimacy of the rule itself. So rather than saying, you know what, maybe the boundary or the division that I'm trying to create by these rules is wrong, rather than saying that and perhaps having to admit that we need to change some things, we blame those who don't observe the rules, just like the synagogue leader. Sadly, we see this tendency as well in churches. We see where the rules clash with people trying to do the best that they can. People come to worship and they're feeling uncomfortable, but they're struggling to keep up appearances because they don't want somebody talking about them out in the foyer afterwards and saying, I wonder why so-and-so looked really down today. People come to church services, and they're hurting, but they're afraid to reach out because they're afraid of what other people are going to say about the hurt that they're experiencing, whether they dismiss it outright, whether they make excuses, whether sometimes in the worst of cases, they laugh about it. And so people are afraid to try to go around these rules. And so the rules become a way of enforcing behaviors that we don't really intend to when we create the rule, but because the rule becomes more important and the observation of the rule becomes the thing, those who don't or can't or won't adhere to the rule are left on the outside looking in. And then someone comes along and breaks the rule. And we find out that the rule breaker is the Lord. See, look at what Jesus does. Look at how Luke pictures this here as he writes, as he's putting this together. starting off in verse 10, we find out it's a Sabbath, and it's Jesus who's teaching one of the synagogues, and this woman is here. And in verse 12, Jesus takes the initiative here, okay? He clearly understood what the so-called rule was, but he calls this woman forward. He takes the initiative. He calls her forward, and he puts his hands on her, and he heals her. Then there's the problem with the synagogue leader, and he's upset with Jesus, but look closely at verse 15 and find out who answers the synagogue leader. The Lord. And Luke is intending for us to see here that when Jesus says what he says in 15 and 16, verses 15 and 16, that there is authority behind it. This isn't just Jesus freelancing out on his own. This isn't Jesus saying, well, we thought that the rule was this, but it's not really this. This is the Lord who was saying this. This is the Lord who is giving a better interpretation of the rule. This is the Lord who is saying, your rules don't matter when compassion needs to be given to a human being. For Jesus, for the Lord himself, the kingdom of God is about justice, not rules. And so Jesus, the Lord, looked at that rule that said, you can't be healed on the Sabbath. And he said, that rules out, because compassion and justice is what this woman needs. And that's why the Lord called this woman forward, put his hands on her, and said, you're healed. For Jesus, for the Lord, the kingdom is about the overflow of God's compassion in the form of justice into the lives of others, even when rules are in the way of that. We might consider some other things that Jesus did. For example, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus was in another synagogue on another Sabbath day, and there was a man there that had a withered hand, and his hand was withered from birth, and Jesus healed the man. And when controversy emerged, because Jesus had broken the rule, Jesus says, let's talk about the one rule that matters. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? And they couldn't answer him because they wanted him to do harm. How would Jesus have been doing harm? Jesus would have been doing harm to observe the rule that existed whereby he was not allowed to show compassion because it was a Sabbath day. And Jesus said there's only one rule that matters, and it matters only on the Sabbath and every other day of the week, and that is, are we going to be people of justice who show compassion, mercy, and love to others, or are we going to be rule keepers that create divisions that keep people out? Jesus taught about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. The Good Samaritan is about the fulfillment of the command to love your neighbor, even when your neighbor crosses ethnic, racial, social, and economic boundaries that you might be uncomfortable with, and that you create rules to get around dealing with those types of people. But the only rule that matters is the rule of justice and the rule of compassion and the rule that Jesus laid down, whereby compassion and justice trump the rules that we create to keep people separated and out. Those rules are gone for the kingdom rule of justice and compassion. And in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is clear that not everyone who calls him Lord will actually be in the kingdom. And those who are out say, but Lord, we thought we did everything right. We followed the rules. We observed the rules. We sat through the Bible studies. We sat through worship. We did this and that. And Jesus says, you're out because you didn't show compassion. You didn't show compassion to me. And they say, when did we ever see you in need of compassion? And they say, when somebody needed a And Jesus says, when somebody needed a drink, you didn't do it. When somebody needed to be clothed, and you didn't help. When somebody needed to be visited, and you didn't do it. When you skipped all those things for the sake of your rules, you skipped me in the process. And so Jesus teaches these things. Jesus is clear that the one thing that matters to him in the kingdom of God is justice. And justice plays out in compassion and mercy for others. What does it mean for us to show compassion even against the rules? It means that our definitions and our ways of dividing people from people are out. And it means that we have to view people and relate to people and treat people by God's definition of compassion and justice. Our rules have to be gone. We cannot be a God-fearing people of God if our rules allow us to divide people from people, and if our rules allow us to divide people from God and to hold people back from access to God. Those are two tests right there. The rules we create, or the unwritten rules that we live by, do they keep people from God and do they keep people from each other? And if they do, they're not kingdom rules and they need to go. Because we can measure every kingdom rule that we want to be following by whether it's just and whether it's compassionate, as we understand justice and compassion from God. So consider your own life. How do you respond to people? By rules first, or by justice and compassion? May I bring a few examples to our attention for us to think about? How do you treat people who are different from you? Socially, economically, ethnically, racially, religiously? Do you approach them first and foremost with your rules, or with compassion and an attitude of justice? In the Church of Christ, we have a bad habit of treating people who have been divorced, whether they're even remarried or not, by rules. And so what Jesus is asking us this morning is, how are we going to respond to divorced people? By rules first, or by compassion? In the Christian world, conservative Christians have a terrible reputation about the ways that they view and treat gay people. May I ask us, how are we going to respond to people who are gay? By our rules first, or with compassion and justice for the way that they view how the church treats them? May I suggest that if you find yourself on the wrong side of any of those questions, that you might be more concerned about rules first and justice and compassion second. We need to be people who are willing to follow God by observing His principles of justice and compassion first. Now, let me be clear that I'm not making any sort of distinction about other people's behavior, but about our behavior towards other people. That this is recorded, so I know I said that. Because I don't need anyone coming back afterwards trying to second guess what I'm saying as a way to enforce your own stupid rules. The rules are out. Justice, compassion, and the kingdom of God are in. And yes, that means we need to treat people differently than how we would like to treat them sometimes. Because it's not about how I want to treat someone, but how God calls me to treat someone. So which direction are we going to go in this morning? We have three ways that we can go. That's seen on here. One way goes forward. Two other ways look like they're going forward, but they branch off. You don't want to be on one of these other directions that starts to branch off and you just don't know about it. You ever been on one of those roads? You take the wrong road, you think you're going one direction, suddenly you find yourself way south and you should have been east. But it had such a gentle curve, you didn't know. That's how it is sometimes with the rules that we create. We start going down an innocent path. Suddenly we find ourselves shot off way over here. And we're in the wrong place. Better to take the straight path that Jesus calls us to, that's rooted in the kingdom values of justice and compassion. Jesus could have said, "It's a Sabbath. I know you need healing. Come back tomorrow." Jesus could have said, "It's a Sabbath. I know you need healing. Wait here until sundown when the next day starts and I'll heal you then." But Jesus said, no rule that keeps people from access to God and full participation in the community of God is any rule that God endorses, so that rule is out. And the rule that is in is a rule of compassion and justice. That's what God calls us to. God calls us to live and to love with compassion and justice. The only question that remains for us is, will we obey God? Let's pray. Father, please be with us as we try to understand this lesson. I pray that you will help us to see how any attempt to enforce people through rules is misguided and wrong. Father, I pray that you will give us a heart for compassion and justice. I pray that you will help us to model our lives after Jesus so that we will reach out to people in need, irregardless of whatever rules we or someone else has set up. Father, help us to love you and others more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.